share, subscribe, and like. That should be a blessing. And that way we can continue to do our best to exalt Jesus and help encourage other Christians out there with the ministration of how we minister. As you guys know, there's a bunch of churches, but we just want to edify people here locally in Oceanside if there's opportunities. And then last but not least, church, you know who you are. If you're a member of this church, please remain faithful. Whatever you want to give to God, you already know, guys. Just give with a good heart. Give with a cheerful heart. Whatever you purpose between you and him, there's a box back there. You can do so online on PayPal as well, and we'll leave the rest up to you. Amen. So those are the announcements. We sure want to thank God for our visitors returning back. Praise the Lord. Andrew and Stephanie, thank you guys for coming back. It's a blessing to see you guys. We've been praying for you guys. And with that said, can you do me a favor and open up your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 26? I want to get right into it tonight, church, because we got a lot of scripture to cover this evening. Tonight, as I've been meditating upon this verse and getting ready for tonight's service, I've been conversing with people online on my social media, trying to uphold sound doctrine, trying to promote Jesus, trying to answer people's questions with the Bible on why Jesus Christ is sufficient, why he is superior, and why he should receive all of our heart, our loyalty, our desire to please over family, over friends, over culture. Tonight, I'm gonna try my best to discuss and to teach you guys of the sixfold promise concerning the gospel that Christ, if you will, sent all the apostles out into the world to do. But through the testimony of specifically Paul, we're going to see it here unfolded before our eyes. We're going to go over the Bible, and we're going to discuss these in depth, the three, which is the first, opening the eyes, number two, turning sinners from darkness to light, and number three, from the power of Satan unto God. My hope is to really focus on those first three because, guys, that's going to change your life. I'm telling you right now, if you guys came here tonight with a heart of faith to believe the Bible, Jesus Christ will empower you to change your life. Jesus Christ will deliver you, my friend, from whatever you're going through in your heart, whatever you're going through in your mind. He will refuel your power if it's low this evening. Some of y'all came on an empty tank. Some of y'all came on a quarter tank. I'm telling you, you can leave tonight with a full tank of Jesus power, Holy Spirit power, but you have to believe the Bible tonight as I show you, not necessarily through my presentation as a teacher. I'm just telling you to trust the scriptures that we're going to read tonight and draw near to him with a heart of faith. So without further ado, let's go ahead and read the verse. We'll pray, and then we'll begin tonight's study. I just want to feed you the Bible because that's what's going to change you, not Brother Carlos. I want to point you back to Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to change you, not the pastor. Traditions don't do much for you, and if Jesus Christ can't. So just remember that personal relationship with him is what's most important for your heart this evening. So Acts 26, verse 18. Let's read the verse, then we'll pray. Here we have Paul giving testimony of Christ, his conversion, and what Christ ordained him to do. That's a micro picture of this man. But in the macro, in the bigger picture, every single one of you tonight who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, this is your duty. This is the power you've received, and this is what we ought to do. Okay? Look at here now, verse 18. Hope you have a Bible open. The Bible says here to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you once again for saving my soul. I thank you for preserving my soul. And I thank you for the comfort, the friendship of the Holy Spirit of God. Although I've grieved him many, many times, I'm thankful that he has never given up on teaching me, comforting me in my lowest of lows in life. I thank you, Jesus Christ, for delivering me from the world of certain things and habits I used to do in darkness. You gave me the victory, Lord, and now I'm a stronger Christian to help out other brethren who were weak just like I am. And tonight, God, we just invite you to minister to us from your word. We want you, Lord Jesus, to teach us as your disciples. We want you, Lord Jesus, to be magnified. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be exalted and lifted up here this evening where family comes second, culture comes second, everything else and everyone else, God, comes after we put you on the throne of our heart because only you have the power to deliver us from sin. Only you have the power to heal our broken heart. Only you have the power to give us peace when the thoughts of our mind have depression and sadness and anything else we might be going through tonight. So Lord, we just want to surrender to you. Would you teach us now from your word of these six truths that you have given Christians throughout all history now for any sinner who's willing to believe just like we did, and how we can continue to live in that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have, my friend, the sixfold truth of the gospel as he has ordained the disciples to go out and to preach, but we're just getting this light through the Apostle Paul's testimony. The first thing I want you to see there is in verse number 18. The Bible says to open their eyes. We'll talk about that. Second, to turn them from darkness to light. We'll talk about that. Third, from the power of Satan unto God. We'll talk about that. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want you to quickly look here in verse number 18. That they may receive. Because it's an option. It's a choice for the Gentile and for the Jew. For the black man and for the white man. It doesn't matter who we are, whether we're poor or rich. It's a choice for people to respond to the gospel. No one has been predetermined before the creation of the entire universe. No one. But what was predetermined was the future destiny of those who would believe in Jesus Christ. You understand? So here we have it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died, was buried, he rose again. And he has commissioned these men to go into the world to tell everybody that there is an opportunity for them to be forgiven. There's an opportunity for them to receive an inheritance. There's an opportunity for them to be sanctified by faith alone, not of works. But then, what's the first three? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan into God. My friends, I want to focus on those three tonight. I want you to understand, guys, that when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, we understand the Word of God produces faith. We understand the Word of God gives you a little bit more light concerning light that you already had. But it took you two things to get saved. One, it took you faith. You had to believe in something you didn't see. But number two, it took you obedience. Let me show you these three verses quickly on the screen. I'll tell you when to turn your Bible then. But look at here. Look at Romans 10, 17. A lot of you know these verses. These are just friendly reminders, amen. Romans 10, 17, you know this. The Bible says here, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know that. You know those verses. But look at Romans chapter 6. And let's go back now to verse number 17. Here's what happened. When the gospel was presented to you, it stirred something in your spirit called faith. And what you did was you exercised that faith that you possess to Godward, and you were willing to believe in something invisible, someone invisible, because of the intellectual information that was given to you. And as you began to meditate upon that within your conscience, outweighing the two, if I reject, here's the consequence. If I accept, here's the consequence. Here's what you did. You obeyed. Look at Romans 6, 17. The Bible says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have what? Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So two things. One, faith. Number two, obedience. One more on this topic, and then we'll keep moving along. 1 Peter chapter 1. Like I said, you can just quickly look up to the screen because I'm just going to go through this quickly. 1 Peter 1, verse number 22. The Bible says here, seeing ye have purified your souls in what church? Obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again, so on and so forth. So how did it start? Faith. The Word of God began to give you more light. You responded to the light that you had. Two, obedience. You obeyed that doctrine. You obeyed the gospel. When Jesus Christ told you he's the way, the truth, and the life, you were willing to obey him. You were willing to repent and say, I'm not going to trust in Buddha. I'm not going to trust in Confucius, Taoism, Muhammad, Allah. I'm not going to trust in my former Mexicano cultures of whatever spiritualism that we used to practice, mysticism, Day of the Dead practice over here, and Chicano brown pride over there, and whatever that might have been for you, atheism, agnosticism, and whatever the case might be. You repented from that, and you obeyed that man. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And what did that produce within you? Sanctification. What did that give you? Inheritance. And then thirdly, deliverance. So hallelujah. It's not just sufficient to just simply hear with the ear, but it's required to obey from the heart. Let's go now to John chapter 5. Before we start building up the three blocks, if you will, of Acts 26, I want you to see something with me. Acts chapter 5. Go down with me now to verse number 40. The reason why some of you guys got saved later on in life is because you didn't want to obey. You heard about them, though. You grew up in the United States, you heard about them. You were taught about him. Somebody exposed you to Christianity. You read some history book about Christianity. And it doesn't matter if you came out of the Roman Catholic Church. It doesn't matter if you came out some denomination or some religion. You were exposed to elements of God. You were exposed to the creation of God. You were exposed to something that drew you to understanding that there's someone greater than yourself. But you didn't want to obey. That's why you didn't come until you were willing to obey. Look at John 5:40. Jesus said to these Hebrews at that time, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. That's why you didn't get saved until you did. You were not willing to come to Jesus. But when you finally came to yourself and your senses, what did you do? You came to him. What did you do? You obeyed him. And what did he do? He saved you. Amen. He sanctified you. He gave you an inheritance and deliverance. We're going to talk about the effect that that should have now as we continue in our trial. But I just wanted to show you. How many of us were like that at one point or at some point in time of our life? Before we got saved, Jesus Christ was doing his best through the lives of his obedient, yielded disciples to show us the way of salvation, but we wouldn't come. But finally, when you and I were ready to let go of our pride, you and I were ready to believe, to receive, and obey Christ's gospel. However, many of us stop there. Many of us stop at the first half of the directions. You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We stop at that first part and we forget that there's a second part. There's a second effect that that same Jesus whom you put your heart and emotional faith in desire to have an effect outwardly and inwardly after the fact. You and I stopped at the part where he desires to deliver us from this evil world constantly and perpetually. Renewing of the mind constantly and perpetually. Look at two verses with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's go there real quick. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2. This is real important because if you think that Jesus Christ just came down here to save your soul from going to heaven without no change in your life, you have a misconception of Jesus. If you think that he just provides eternal life without any expectation in return, then you have a misconception of Jesus. I didn't say you don't know him. I didn't say you don't know about him. I'm just saying you don't know what he expects from you. You don't know what he wants to do through you. That is, he wants to deliver you from the very things that he died for. Are you hearing me? Look at Romans 12, verse number 2. The command here is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. You see there? Acts 26, 18, what did the Lord say there to Paul to testify? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. What does he want to do? He wants to deliver you from the evil of this world. He wants to deliver you from the world that's still in this heart that you inherited from Daddy Adam a long, long time ago. So friend, don't just stop at the first half of the gospel. Don't just park there and say, I got eternal life now because by faith, and you can give me all the scripture you want. You can tell me the testimony of your salvation and you say, brother, I got baptized and everything. But if there's no renewing going on, friend, you have a misconception of Jesus Christ. You have a misconception of the power of his deliverance that he gave you. You're not walking in that delivering power, that sanctification. So here we have it. One more, Ephesians 4, verse number 23. Look at here. Ephesians 4, verse number 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So as we continue in tonight's path, if you will, it's in the will of God that Jesus Christ helps change everything about you from birth till now to renew your mind from all the filth, all the world, all the habits and all the feelings. Listen, maybe the people, maybe the family that you still have that are still not saved. Maybe deliverance from those influences. I don't know. I'm just telling you. He knows whatever he knows to be true and however the word presents itself, he knows that those things and those people will not help you in this process of sanctification, of deliverance. That's why he gave you this book. That's why he gave you these commands because this is going to be the only source, my friend, that is going to help you on that road of sanctification. Listen now. It's for our own good. Christian liberty is freedom from the power of sin to the power of obedience. Let me repeat that. Christian liberty is freedom from the power of sin to the power of obedience. Obedience to Christ's command is what the Holy Spirit seeks to help us obey daily. But the question now is, will you let him? Will you let him? You don't have to turn there. I'm going to show you a couple of verses that are going to remind us this evening that we have to let God do that. It sounds crazy. It sounds kind of wild. You're saying, Brother Carlos, you're telling me that I have a role in this part, if you will, of salvation? Absolutely. You have to be willing and obedient and submissive in order for that power to have its effect within your life. Are you ready now? Watch this. I'm going to go through these quickly now, so you don't have to turn there. Just look up to the screen, and then on YouTube later on, you can write down all the notes. John 12, verse number 26. All we're going to do is focus on this little word, the word let. Watch this. John 12, verse number 26, the word let. If any man serve me, Jesus says, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You want honor from God this evening? You better follow Jesus. You better serve Jesus. You better let him be the Lord of your life. But you have to allow yourself. Look at, let him follow me. Who's the only one that's stopping you from following? It's you, friend. You got to get out of your own way. Anybody out there? You got to follow him. All right. Romans 6, we're just going through this quickly. I just want to show you that you and I have a responsible role. We have to let now Christ continue the work of redemption within our life. Verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. He gave you power. Don't tell me, brother, that she's the one that caused you to do that. Don't tell me, sister, he's the one that caused you to do that. Don't blame it on the government. Don't blame it on the white man, the black man. Don't blame it on all the policies that your government passes. Don't blame it on the culture. Blame it on sin. Blame it on yourself giving into it. What did Christ tell you? Don't let it reign. I gave you the power over this physical flesh. You got it already. You got to exercise it. Anybody out there? Chapter number 13. We're just going through this quickly where you have to let the Lord do this. Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. So you say, Brother Carlos, I don't have a problem drinking alcohol no more. I don't have a problem smoking weed anymore. But do you just have a problem with other Christians? Do you still not get along with other Christians? Do you still have pride in your heart because of them not meeting your expectation, your needs? Then you're not letting Christ have the power over you. You see, friend, it's not so much of intellectual doctrine, like I told you guys and I preach behind this pulpit. You have to know him and you have to let him rule that heart so he can love people through you the way that he wants to. But when you don't let him, don't be surprised when your flesh is the one that's trying to. It ain't going to happen and it's not going to benefit your soul. Look, guys, I have many more. I'm just going to read them out loud and then the YouTube will record it. 1 Corinthians 7, 3. 1 Corinthians 10, 8. Through 12, 24. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Galatians 5, 25 through 26. Galatians 6, 6 through 10. Ephesians 4, 26 through 31. Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Colossians 3, 15 through 16. Colossians 4, 6. I'll go through these last ones, however, because these are really good. Hebrews 10, 22 through 24. 1 Peter 3, 10. I'll show you these last two. 2 Timothy 2:19. And if anybody wants a picture of my notes, you guys are more than happy. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. We have to let. We have to let is what I'm just showing you. Bible says here, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what does it say there, friend? Depart from iniquity. So you see, we can't judge anyone's salvation. It's impossible. That's the only thing a God has the ability to do. We don't know the hearts of men. But I could safely say there should be some evidence and some fruit coming out of your profession. That's all I'm saying. We're not saying that your works guarantee salvation. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that your works prove your salvation. We're saying that if there truly is God in your heart, you're not going to want to continue living after and doing this. And you understand? So Christ said, if you claim to know me, then you better follow me and you better obey me and you better depart from iniquity. That's what you have to do, friend. And then the last reference I'll show you, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 of let. 1 John 3, 18. The Bible says here, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not just sufficient to say, have a good day, brother. but you don't back it up with any action to actually help that brother have a better day or the sister, or you say you're going to try, but you have no action to back it up. That's what that means, friend. When the Bible teaches, bring forth fruits meet for repentance, that's the explanation. You're not just going to want to profess, okay, I'll believe in whatever the prophet or the preacher's preaching. You're going to back it up with what? Indeed and in truth. Are you following now? So we have to let that Savior continue to have the power of affecting us from the power of his gospel. So now, let's go back now and let's now go through our notes. Do me a favor now. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark, chapter number 8. What did we read about there in Acts 26 within our base text this evening in verse number 18? That Jesus Christ, through the testimony of the Apostle Paul, gave us a sixfold truth concerning the effect that the gospel is to have and that he desires to have in the heart of sinners who believe. He said to open their eyes. That's what he said. I want to show you a couple of people whose eyes were open, and I want to show you that Jesus Christ gave them the ability because of his power to open up their eyes. Some of these people that we're going to see, some of their eyes were healed like this. Others, their eyes were healed over time, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. Look at here now, Mark chapter 8. Let's go down to verse number 23 through 25. We have a blind man, and he was out there just doing his thing in Bethsaida, and he besought him to touch him. Look at verse number 23. This is talking about Jesus now. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. There are certain things that Jesus Christ did that I have no idea why. No Bible scholar will tell you, and if they think they know, they don't know. But for some odd reason, the Lord sought to restore this man in a progressive state. You say, what does that mean? Rather than just saying, you're healed supernaturally, that's it. This man was healed progressively. It took a little bit of time for this particular man in order for him to fully have a restoration of his eyes. Friend, that's a picture of our salvation. When you and I get saved, he saves our soul. But you still don't see clearly. Your eyes that he wants to open, they still have a little darkness. They still have a little taint in them. They still got some eyelashes that you're kind of making your eyes, not want to fully open all the way. Understand? You still got a little bit of that worldliness. You still got a little bit of that thing in application tonight is what we're talking about. It's going to take him time to open your eyes up little by little. But if you continue to trust his word and you continue to do what he says, he will do it for you. He will open your eyes fully so that way you can see clearly how he wants you to live your life, how he wants you to conduct this flesh and this body, how he wants you to do all that. I just want you to see that. That's picture number one of Jesus Christ opening the eyes of a man, helping him to see over time. Number two, let's go to Acts chapter 9. We are back on the Bible train, friend. Let's get our spiritual pants on and spiritual dresses for the ladies, amen, and let's move on here. Here we go. Acts chapter 9, verse number 18. The Bible says here, we have a man by the name of Saul. He gets saved. This is Paul. We already know that. But I want you to see what happened. I want you to see what happened when he was healed. The Bible says here in verse number 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. He was already saved. But notice how he was still in a state of stupor because of that supernatural light that he saw from the Lord. It literally, if you will, blinded him for a season. And if the Bible's true, he had some kind of physical something that was on his eyes. But when Ananias went over there and the Spirit of God used him to heal him of whatever the eyesight issue was, the Holy Spirit records for us this scene. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received the sight forthwith. Again, what is that a picture of? The deliverance for a man to see wholly, for a man to see and to be restored so he can now see life from the eyes of Christ versus the eyes of the flesh. Some of us have scales. They've been there over time. What happens when you leave metal outside for a minute it begins to oxidize. You understand what I'm talking about? It begins to rust. You know, sometimes when we walk away from the Lord after we get saved, you know, it's almost as if our eyes can become oxidized. It's almost as if our eyes can begin to build up. How many of you guys know what calcium around the sinks, you know, water and all that stuff? And in order for you to clean that thing, you got to put some powder. You got to scrub that. I got to get an angle grinder, brother, and I got to sand that rust off that until it's shiny again. Could it be, friend, could it be that Jesus Christ wants to open up your eyes, but for some reason you're enjoying that buildup? For some reason you're enjoying a little bit of that, you know, unclearness, because there's some scales that you've been enjoying in, because you're kind of excusing yourself from saying, I don't really know yet. I don't really know yet. But he wants to. He wants to open your eyes wholly so you can see how to live life fully for God. That was a good nugget right there, Brother Felipe. Write that down. All right, Ephesians 1, verse number 18. Let's go there. Ephesians 1, verse number 18. Jesus Christ wants to enlighten your eyes. Look at here. Ephesians 1, verse number 18. Here we have a great prayer. If you don't know what to pray for a brother or sister, just ask God to help a brother open up his eyes. Amen. Just ask God to open up a sister's eyes, and that'll be all right. That'll be all right. Here's what Paul was praying for the brethren in Ephesus. He says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know what the Holy Spirit desires to do within your heart, friend? He wants you to know more of the hope of Christ's calling in your life. But when you don't want to listen to him, remember the scales? When you don't want to listen to him, remember the progressive time? You're going to make it difficult for him to help you to grow in your understanding. But he wants to. He wants to help you to grow. You just got to stop excusing yourself, sit at his feet, open up the Bible, and let him teach you. That's all I want to tell you. That's the will of God, is to open up the eyes of your understanding. And then one more on this topic of the eyes. 1 John chapter 2. How many of you guys are saved tonight? How many of you guys believe Jesus Christ? Okay. So you're Holy Spirit filled, blood bought, blood washed. Okay. All your Bible doctrine, you can go on and, you know, on your high horse, King James Bible, bless God and all that stuff. That's okay. That's all right with me. But when you start hating Christians, when you start having pride against other brethren, you know what the Bible says happens to your eyes? They become darkened. How about that? Turn your Bible now with me here to 1 John chapter number 2. This is something that we all got to be very, 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 very careful for. Look at with me now in verse number 9. Are you with me now? 1 John 2, 9. We're talking to Christians this evening, amen? We're talking to saved, born again, blood bought, blood washed, eternally preserved brethren. I know who I'm talking to, but I need you to listen to Jesus now. He that saith he is in the light, that's what you just said. You just agreed to that, okay? And hated this brother, look at what it is now, is in darkness even until now. You come to church all day long. You can dress up all day long. You can put the dress up all day long. You can listen to the hymns all day long. But as long as you hold on to that problem against the brother, you know what your Lord said? You're in darkness. You don't want me to remove those scales. You don't want me to show you so you can go from seeing men as trees to seeing men as who they are. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth. Why? Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So, brother, you know me. You know how you know my preaching. You know where I stand. You know my convictions. But you know that I am more concerned about your relationship with God and your love for Christians, because as soon as you start having an angry, bitterness, envious, if you will, emulation and strife and wrath against another Christian for their faults and another Christian because of their lack, and that you fill in the blank, you know what your Savior said? You're blinded. You're blinded because you're not walking in love. If you want to stay in this light, and if you want to allow me to have the power to affect you with my gospel, to deliver you from all that, why don't you just start loving this person as I want to love them through you? Why don't you just forgive this person like I want you to forgive them? Why don't you just get over yourself, because, friend, I died for you. Look at that. You walk in darkness, and you say you're in the light. Who wants their eyes to be open tonight? Anybody? I do. I have a problem with me. I have a problem with people when I have a problem with my Savior. When I disobey his commandments, friend, you know what the Bible says? Brother Carlos walks in darkness. So friend, don't be ashamed. You, Brother Joe, Brother Philippe, you'll call me, hey, Brother Carlos, man, you doing good? Are you loving the brethren? I'll tell you straight up, man, pray for me. I'm having this issue. Hey, let's walk in light. We'll pray together. Same thing with you, Brother Felipe, Brother Joe, Brother Andrew, man, I'll call you. Hey, how you doing, man? I got this thing going on. Let's pray right there, because why? We want to walk in the light. We want to walk in the light of his word. All right. So that's the first part, opening the eyes. That's what Jesus wants to do within the heart of sinners. Number two, he wants to turn you from darkness to light. Let's go to Matthew chapter number four. Matthew chapter number four. We may not get through all these points, but we're going to try our best to give you, amen. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus Christ wants to turn sinners from darkness to light. And if you believed in him this evening, he wants to continue to help you to turn from darkness to light. Here we have a prophecy concerning Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew 4:13, leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now watch this. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. God prophesied that Jesus Christ would be the light to free sinners from their darkness. Number two, John chapter 12. John chapter number 12. Bible says there, and this is one of my favorite ones concerning the light. This is a great verse too. If you want to memorize scriptures on the light and darkness, this is a really good one to try to memorize, guys. John chapter number 12. Jesus Christ said he is the light of the world. Amen. Y'all heard about that. But look at here in verse number 46. He says here, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. What did I say earlier? Some of us stopped at the first half of the gospel. We stopped at just believing for salvation. We stopped at believing for forgiveness of sins, but we didn't want to continue on to where Christ wants to deliver us from sin. You know what your Savior said? He doesn't want you to only believe in him. He wants you to obey him. He doesn't want you to continue to walk in darkness. Are you with me this evening? So he wants you to continue to abide in his light. So whoever professes, what did we read earlier? Let him depart from iniquity. If you're a follower of Christ, here's going to be the proof of your profession. You're not walking in darkness. At least you're striving not to. We understand it's a battle. Romans chapter number 13. Romans 13, what are we doing? We're just showing you the Bible of what your Savior commands you to do concerning the power that he's given you to turn from darkness to light. Whose choice is it? It's yours. But if you let God have the will and way within your life, if you let him be the Lord of your life, what does that mean? You let him be the master. You let him tell you what to do. He will keep your mind on peace. He will guard your heart from the doubts and the depression and all the other things this flesh gives you, because that's what he said he would do. Remember, he is the Prince of Peace. Anybody out there? Okay, here we go. Romans 13. I guess I get the free prayer on that one, Brother Felipe. All right, Romans 13, verse 11. And that, the Bible says here, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Anybody sleeping out there this evening? Nope. All right, Brother Joseph, don't worry. You don't have to shock him this evening. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So, friend, don't forget to study your Bible. Salvation doesn't always mean the soul and justification. It just also could mean deliverance. It could mean a freedom, if you will, from a deliverance, or a deliverance from an invading army or a people. Look at here. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. You say, can you give me an example of that? Well, Lord, can you give it? Oh, wait, what'd you say, God? You put it in the Bible? All right, let's read it. Verse 13, let us walk honestly. So what does that tell me? A work of darkness is walking in dishonesty. If you're being a liar, you're walking in darkness. But if you're being an honest person telling the truth, then you're walking as a child of light. Are you seeing there? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Christ does not want his followers to continue to abide in darkness. He's given you the power to cast it off. Do you want to cast it off? It's your choice. Some of us, we got dressed because you chose to put the clothing you put on. But some of us on the inside, that inward clothing, you put that on too. Whether it's anger, bitterness, sin, secret faults, secret sins, your Savior gave you the power to cast that thing and throw it away. Throw it out there so that way you can continue to walk in the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me now in verse number 6. Also one of my favorites about the light and darkness as well. For God, not the church, for God, not your pastor, for God, not your husband and wife, I know you love him dearly, but it's God, remember that, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Who did that? God. By what? His command. Are you following now? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My friend, you cannot divorce that relationship between you and the Father without his son, Jesus Christ. And you cannot divorce the relationship between you and Jesus Christ without his commands. You know what that Bible says? When you got saved, God the Father commanded immediately light to come in the darkness of your soul. And it was so. He gave you light, but that light is going to continue to flourish in the knowledge of who? His son, Jesus Christ. So the more that I can point you to him, the more that I can feed you with the knowledge of him, friend, you are going to abide in the light. But the more that you try to restrict yourself and we want to put rules over you and all that other stuff, guys, that's not going to help you in the knowledge of Jesus. So that's what you need more of, is the knowledge of Jesus. A couple more on the light, and then we'll move on to the third one, the power. Look at here now in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, this is a really good one. I want to touch on these. We may not get to the other notes, but we'll get to it later on. I really want to give you a couple from the power of God. That's real good this evening. Ephesians 5, look at verse number 8. We're still focusing on the darkness and the light, okay? Look at Ephesians 5, verse number 8. The Bible says here, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in who? In the Lord." Okay, so here's Brother Carlos before he got saved, darkness. It doesn't matter what my first birth was, Mexicano, made in Mexico, 100% piece of Mexicano dirt with a conscience, darkness. Whoever you are here today, white man, black man, green man, first birth from Daddy Adam, darkness. That's all it is. It's darkness. There is no galore to it, regardless of the beauty, regardless of the muscle, regardless of all that. God said, darkness. You were sometimes darkness. But now, when you receive Christ, you are light in the Lord. So what does he expect for you to do? Walk as a child of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's going to be an evidence that you're walking in the light. Remember what Romans 13 said? Cast off the works of darkness. Let us walk in honesty. So then what's going to show me, brother, that you are walking in the light? Your life changing. You're no longer committing adultery. You're no longer fornicating. You're no longer getting drunk. You're no longer exercising all these attributes of anger, wrath, malice. You're actually controlling it. Those things are not affecting you as much anymore. Why? Because you're letting the light of the Word of God strengthen you, and now you're using the power of God. Well, we'll get there to help you to do it. So here we have it. Children of light, we are expected now to live a certain way now, proving what is acceptable unto the pastor. Wait, did I read that wrong, right? Let me try that again. Proving what is acceptable unto the church. Let's try that one more time. I know you guys try your best to want to please Brother Carlos, but brother, I'm a wretched man. Don't look to me, y'all. Brother Giovanni knows I'm a wretched man. Brother Felipe knows I'm a wretched man. But proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Why? Because he died for your sins. Why? Because he rose from the dead to offer you eternal life. I had a discussion. I'm going through a debate right now with some people in my life, and they want to cling to an old tradition. They want to cling to a celebration within the Latino culture called Day of the Dead. The difference between me and them is I want to prove if my Savior says that's okay for me to do. The difference between them is they don't want to prove. They're going to walk in darkness. I'm going to walk in light. That's a quick nutshell lesson. We don't have time to exposit all that. If you want to continue to walk in the light, what you're going to need to do is ask your Savior, is it okay? When you prove what is acceptable to this to the Word of God, because it's the closest thing you have right now to the Savior, He will tell you what's right and wrong. He will tell you what you should and shouldn't do with your body. He will tell you how to love that one wife that you have. He will tell you, wife, how to love that one husband that you're married to. He will tell you how to raise your kids. He will show you what is acceptable and what isn't. So then as I continue to walk now, I'm going to have two type of people around my life. I'm going to have a darkness person over here because they don't want to be obedient. They want to be disobedient. They want to be carnal. And I'm going to have brother light and sister spiritual over here because they want to. Who should I have more fellowship with? Are you ready? Look at verse number 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So when we call out, if you will, a work of the flesh, and when we give you an example, an illustration of you shouldn't do that anymore, brother or sister, don't get offended at who the presenter is and how they're presenting it. What you rather should do is, wow, that's what he said. That's what my Savior wants me to do. I should do that because he died for my sins and he rose again the third day. He is the master. I'm the servant. He's God. So if your Savior commands you, friend, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, then don't, but rather reprove them. So you know what we do? Man, I can't believe I used to do that, man. I can't believe I was a drunkard. I can't believe I was a fornicator. I can't believe I was, you know, getting high and messing around all this. I can't believe I was just, you know, doing all these things. Man, what a shame. Yeah, we shouldn't do that anymore. We should reprove those things because we're trying to help out brother over here from not wanting to do that over here. It's darkness. You know what the Bible says? For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And friend, that's who you were. You were sometimes darkness. And when did you do the dark deed? In the darkness. Any man, anybody out there? It's a shame though. But notice how you don't have to be ashamed when you're walking in the light. Notice how you don't have to be ashamed coming to church. Notice how you don't have to be ashamed when you're dressing modestly. Notice how you don't have to be ashamed when you're talking about Jesus Christ. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in the light. Other verses, Colossians 1:13, 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-8. Let me give you a few more. We're almost done. I know some of you guys are tired. Look at here. Power. Acts 26:18, within our base text, the third thing is from the power of Satan unto God. Jesus Christ wants to open up your eyes. We saw some of that. Jesus Christ wants to deliver you from the darkness to abide in light. We saw some of that. Third, let me give you a few more. He gave you the power to deny Satan and to obey God. Okay? Let me go through a few of these. Let's go back now to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter number 4. And notice that everything we're giving you tonight is the Word of God. Notice that everything that we're sharing with you, brother, is not my opinion, it's not my perspective, and it's not even really my experience. All I'm doing is giving you His Word, so that way His Word will be the hope of your meditation and the source for your power. You understand there? That's where it's going to happen, friend. All right, now watch this. Luke chapter 4, and let's read here in verse number 32. The Bible says there, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for His Word was with what? Power. I'm going to tell you right now that the Word of Christ has more power than the words of Satan. Anybody out there? The words of Jesus Christ has more power than the philosophies of this world. The words of Christ has more power than your former religion, your former culture, and your former family members, and your former philosophies, and all your ways of living. All I'm telling you, friend, is that His Word has power. You know what it had power to do? It had power to save your soul and to make you a child of God. Look at John chapter 1. I know some of you guys know this by memory, but to as many as received Him, anybody out there? Free prayer? Nobody? Okay, nobody free prayer. Okay. But as many as received Him, John 1:12, to them gave He what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Remember what He told them, Jews, in John 5? Ye will not come to Me that you might have life. Again, all of us, before we got saved, you didn't want to come. But when you did, when you obeyed to that humble, lowly Savior who died on that cross, who was inviting you to be forgiven and to receive all this grace and compassion and a relationship restored with your Maker, He gave you the power to become a son of God. At what? At your faith. Because of your faith. Because of your personal belief in Him. Jesus Christ empowers sinners to become the sons of God because we cannot do it on our own power. A few more on power. John chapter number 17. Let's go there. We're on the Bible train. We're almost done. Almost done. When we talk about this power, it's because he received a commandment from the Father. And when the Father gave the Son a commandment that whoever believes in you, Son, I will give them eternal life, that is a sure word, and it's going to happen. The devil can't do nothing about it. Your sin can't do nothing about it. The flesh can't do nothing about it. It will not alter this commandment because it's an eternal decree. You understand what we're saying here? Look at John chapter 17, verse number 2. The Bible says here, here's Jesus praying to the Father, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So here we have it. Jesus Christ is the only true source available to mankind for salvation. There is no other religion of men that can do this nor offer this. A few more on this power. We have way more notes. We're not going to finish this evening, but let me just give you a few more. Where do I want to go? Gosh. Okay. Let me give you just a few more, and then we'll close. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and then I'll finish here with this side nugget that I got here in my notes. Literally says nugget, so it must be good. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Not only did he free you from the power of Satan, and so that way you could obey God. Not only did he give you the power to become a son of God. Not only does his word have power, but he empowered you to be a witness thereafter. So look at here in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. We know before he ascended back to the Father, he empowered the disciples. But here's what the scripture says. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Before you start getting sidetracked with miracles, signs, and wonders, before they invite you to the big old church and come for the healing today from these false prophets nowadays, and they want you to sow a seed, of course, and they want you to believe in this guy's leg growing. Oh, okay. Before you entertain all the power of the Holy Ghost, I want you to focus real fast now. Just listen to it clearly. You shall receive power. You shall be witnesses. You were empowered, not for the miracle, friend. Not for the healing so much, friend. You were empowered to be a witness for Christ. Why would you need Holy Ghost power, brother? Because when you go into that foreign country and they're going to threat to take your life, you're going to need a lot more than just saying, I can heal your ears. No, you're going to need the Holy Spirit of God to help you to maintain your composure if by chance you end up getting martyred. You understand? You need the Holy Spirit of God to help you to be bold when you're in the workplace. When your flesh wants to cave in so you can be accepted because they're cursing, they're drinking, they're toking, they're smoking, you need the Holy Ghost power in you to keep you obedient, to be a witness when your family members don't. Nobody wants to come to church but you. That's why you need the Holy Ghost power, to be obedient to the commands of Christ and to be a witness. So when you're not exercising that power, it's just because you're being disobedient, because you have it. You've gotten it and you received it on the day of your conversion. Anybody here? All right. I said last two. Nugget. Real good. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I got a lot more notes, but we're going to need to make this a part two. Amen. Acts chapter 4. But if you want the whole sermon, brother, you just got to take me out to dinner. Amen. We got Alberto's right over there. Road tacos. Boom. I'll feed you the whole sermon this evening. Acts chapter 4, verse number 33. Acts chapter 4, verse number 33. I'm telling you, friend, when you start studying this Bible and you start rightly dividing this book and you start letting God define the terms, and you put away the commentaries, and you put away the experiences, and you put away your presuppositions, I'm telling you, friend, this Bible is going to explain to you, and it's going to show you what that meant, why that was there, but what was the purpose. So when we talk about this power of God, it was for them to be a witness. It was to confirm their preaching and their suffering for the name of Christ. Look at here. Here we have the disciples praying in Acts chapter 4. They're going through a lot of persecution, by the way. The Jews, they already brought up the brethren. They were threatened. Again, all those Hebrews were going through a lot of stuff because their kinsmen, according to the flesh, all their fellow Jews, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were threatening these Jewish converts. If you guys continue living out your faith in Christ and telling everybody else that temple is not sufficient, these laws are insufficient, we are going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to arrest you. You better not do it. But they got the Holy Ghost power to be a witness. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Look now in Acts chapter 4. Here they are. They're praying. They say in verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may," what? "Heal the sick." Oh, let's read that one more time. "That with all boldness they may make the foot grow longer," so we can go on to YouTube and have millions of views. No. Jesus, I'm asking you to give me boldness because I'm getting real scared. I know I should go door knocking, Lord. I know I should go soul winning with the brethren. I know I should be faithful in that command, but God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what men are going to think about me. I'm afraid of what my past is going to think about me, Lord. But you know what I'm asking you, God? I'm just coming to you. I know you gave me the power. I need you to supernaturally empower me to be a witness, to just tell people about your word. 23:30. "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by thy name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Do you see there? Go down to verse number 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So you know what happened? Jesus heard their prayer requests. They asked for the miracles, but it was to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They asked for the signs, but it was to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they really needed boldness because they're being threatened. They're being persecuted. They're telling them, if you guys live out your faith publicly, we're going to take out your family. We're going to fire you from this job over here. You're not going to be liked anymore. You're not going to be allowed in synagogue. So what did they need? Boldness. So Jesus, he affirmed that. He gave them great power to preach the resurrection. One more. 1 Timothy 1:16. Whose power? Jesus' power. You know why some people don't see that power in you, brother? And I hope you take this in love. Sister, you know why people don't see that power in you and through you in the workplace, in your family life, in your friendship? I'm going to tell you why right now. I need you to really listen to me the best you can. If there's anything that you gain from this evening, it is this right here. It's because there's something going on in your relationship with Jesus. There's a stumbling block. There's an eye that has a little bit of scale. There's something going on that's hindering your love for him. And when you don't love him, and when you don't let him reign over your life in that personal, individual walk with him, he's not going to manifest himself through you in that moment of time. But when you repent and you get back over here and you submit to him and you get on them knees and you say, "Lord, I'm sorry, not mine, but thy will be done." You know what he'll do? He will show himself through you to that person next to you. Look at now, 1 Timothy 1:16. Paul said, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life." You know what's wild? Guys, chew on that real quick before you go to bed. Chew on that. Paul just said, "I got saved, and here's the purpose for my personal testimony, so that Jesus Christ can show through me that God is patient." Isn't that wild? That God is patient, and if you're just willing to believe after you are living alongside this person over here and this coworker over there and this family member over here and this spouse over here and this child over here, you know what Paul said? "I got saved so that Jesus Christ would show them through me how he's patient." Isn't that wild? So before we start getting too hungry for all this doctrine and all this wisdom and end times and what about the conspiracy theories and the governments and all this hoopla and all this worldliness, there's something more important your Savior wants to manifest through you. He just wants to show somebody that he's patient. He just wants to show somebody that he's kind. He just wants to show somebody that he truly is loving. He truly is gracious. But if you're not letting him show you that first, because you want to walk in darkness, because you want to hate a person, you want to hate a brother in Christ, your eyes are blinded even though you were given freedom, you got a little bit of that power but you're not exercising it, Jesus Christ, you are literally not letting him show forth that in your life. So then what's the resolution? You go back to the source. You go back to Jesus Christ. You don't come confess your sins to a pastor, and there's no problem confessing a fault, but you go back to him and you say, my Lord and my Savior, I am sorry. I am sorry for not being obedient to your command. I know that you want to love this person through me, and I have been holding you back on doing that. Would you forgive me? I want to let you know. Here's my heart. I want to let you know. Here's my mind. I want to obey the word. I want to love my husband. I want to love my wife. I want to love my coworkers. I want to love my friends. I want to let you show yourself forth through me so they can see that you are patient. You're gracious, you're kind, you're merciful. But friend, you need to let that happen. That's your choice this evening. Can nobody force you to do it? Nobody force you to do it? Love is what's going to motivate you to want to do it. Are you hearing me? So as I come to a close, what did we learn about? Let's go back to our base text, Acts 26:18. We'll have a part two after I come back from the mission trip. But look at here in Acts 26:18. Let me just rehearse this now. You got saved. Praise God. You have forgiveness of sins. Praise God. You have inheritance. Praise God. And you got sanctification. I'm so very, very happy for you. But did you let the Lord open your eyes? Are you letting him opening your eyes? Did you let the Lord help you to turn from darkness to light? And are you letting him help you right now? Did you let the Lord help you with the power to say no to the devil, no to devils, no to temptation? And are you letting him strengthen that power in you? Because once he helps you with that, and as you're letting him help you through that, then he can use you as a vessel, as a witness to go reach up to someone like you who's out there right now, broken, lost, waiting to hear the answer to their hope. And who is that? That's Jesus. So that's why I tell some of you friends, there's a Carlos out there somewhere. There's a Felipe, there's a Maribel out there somewhere, there's a Giovanni, there's a Kena, there's an Andrew. There's somebody out there who's just like you, who's just waiting. But when he got a hold of you, did you let him get a hold of you, of all of you? Because once he gets a hold of all of you, you know, Wally, friend, you can be so much more of a powerful witness and a light to that former you out there. You understand what I'm saying? Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God this evening. I know some of these doctrines, some of these teachings, may be challenging to your disciples. But Lord, I just want to do the smartest thing any shepherd can do. I want to get out of your way. I want to let your commands have the authority in this church so that these hearers may hear and hopefully be willing to obey. That their hearts may understand and be willing to want to learn and grow more in their knowledge of you, Lord. Lord, we talked about a lot tonight. But God, I told them about you. I told them what you offered them when you saved their soul. I reminded them about the power you've given them since their conversion. I've shown them, Lord Jesus, how you want to continue to enlighten their eyes and their understanding. I showed them how you want to continue to help them to turn from darkness to live as a child of light. I fed them your scriptures, Lord, of how you want them to exercise the power you've given them to resist the devil, resist sin, so they can be a strong Christian walking in the light, not in darkness, so they can be a help to someone next to them. Lord, I just gave them your word. Tonight, if any of them fail to take heed to that word, God, they're going to have to deal with you on that. Lord, there's only so much I can do, Lord. I cannot force nobody to come to church. I can't force nobody to change how they're going to dress. I can't force nobody to stop watching what they're going to watch. But Lord, you can help them. You gave them this Bible. You gave them the Holy Ghost. I know they can do it. Lord, would you show them that they can do it with your help? So, Lord, I thank you for all the souls that came to church this night. It sure is a blessing to my heart. I know you have a great calling and a plan for every single one of these believers this evening. Would you help them to continue to walk with you? Would you help them to love you? And would you help them to follow you and to obey your commands? Because, God, you know what's right for the life. You have the peace they need. You have the love they need. So I thank you, God. Would you help us all to get back home safely? And we'll thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. May the Lord bless you. Please enjoy some fellowship. And sure was a blessing. Thank you guys for coming to church tonight. Amen. All right. That's that.